Hello and welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Violet.
And my name is Halle. This is Therapy Hour.
Because everybody needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to ZITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam peoples. Quick content warning before we dive into today's episode. There will be some discussions of sex and intimacy, which might not be suitable for all of our listeners. There will also be some discussions of consent, discussions of STIs, and some moderately strong language. Nothing too crazy, but we just wanted to let everyone know what they're kind of getting themselves into here.
Yeah. So this week, we are having a spicy, spicy episode of Therapy Hour. Our topic is going to be hookup culture. And I think before we get into anything, we might want to talk about what the definition of hookup culture is.
Yeah, so we went straight to the important source here. We went to none other than Wikipedia to define this for us. And Wikipedia's definition was that hookup culture is a culture that accepts and encourages casual sexual encounters, including one-night stands and other related activity, without necessarily including emotional intimacy, bonding, or a committed relationship. What's your take on that definition? Does that feel accurate? Is that not really what hookup culture is?
I feel like it's pretty accurate. I find that, like, I may have a few extensions of what it means, and it's more so, I guess, based in what hookup culture kind of exudes out of society. Mm. But it makes sense, like having, you know, kind of indulging and encouraging this culture of casual sex, one night stands, and then further, like, kind of this dismissal of committed relationships, or even kind of like a negative feeling towards it.
Yeah, I feel like when I think about hookup culture, I definitely think about straying from traditional romantic relationships and definitely going more into the realm of casual, with intimacy and sex being very much a part of that. And I think that it's kind of straying away and, like, kind of reactionary to the previously set standard on how we typically will conduct our intimate relationships in the past, and it kind of, like, loosens those taboos around sex, which I think is a really important part of hookup culture and make sex casual again. But does that kind of ring true for you, or do you feel like hookup culture has always kind of been a thing? Because there's also, like, a little voice in my head being like, I mean, people were always having sex. Maybe there wasn't the same culture around it, but
right. Well, I think that, at least from my own opinion and from the little reading that I've done on, like, history of hookup culture and the ways I've talked about it in one of my classes, I feel like hookup culture is very reactionary to very, like, Puritan, traditional ways of dating. And it's not to say that people weren't having casual sex beforehand. I just don't think it was encouraged in the same way. And, you know, with the introduction of, like, I read this article that was talking about how frats have played a really big influence into hookup culture, and how we have this culture in, this was talking about American universities, because the drinking age went up to 21, and the only place that people could drink when they were under 21 were frats, and then that was conflated with this, like, patriarchal standpoint of men's desires and wanting to have sex with women, and then you introduced a bit, like, drunkenness.
Yeah.
And then it kind of has this explosion of, you know, this expectation that you are going to have casual sex when you enter university, following, like, films and whatnot. I feel like it's been very much this kind of conglomerate of things. I don't think it's one thing.
Right.
Especially, yeah, because traditional dating, you had all these weird rules. Don't have sex until the third date.
Right.
Like, you have to follow these instructions. But I feel like,
which I think is harmful, because it makes people go against what is just like natural and organic depending on their situation. And they think that they do have to follow these certain rules, or that makes them promiscuous, or it makes them a prude, or whatever the case may be. And it really ends up being harmful. As much as maybe like dating can be hard and confusing and you want rules sometimes, I think it ultimately hinders those relationships.
Absolutely. And I think that kind of gears us towards this idea a little bit of like what actually can be positive from hookup culture, because I think that having traditional dating norms, that I don't see as being very, you know, good or important all in of itself. Like, I think that it's good that we are challenging these norms, and I think that there's a lot of benefits to like having hookup culture kind of influence where we're gonna go now in the realm of dating.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you kind of brought up this gendered side of it as well, because I think that something that is positive in my mind of hookup culture is that there seem to always be this idea that men desire sex, seek out sex, want sexual relationships. But there has been a real societal and cultural denial that women also desire sex, enjoy sex, find it pleasurable. And I think with the rise in hookup culture, there is a bit more acceptance in that idea that women also want these types of relationships, and, you know, they're not just too emotional to do something casual. That being said, I don't know if we're 100% there.
Absolutely not.
I think we took a little baby step, but I think there's still that taboo and that stigma in people's minds that specifically with women and femmes, that they can't do casual and they can't do just like a hookup and, you know, have no emotions attached to it. Whereas that's like not a gendered thing at all.
No. Well, I think also because what we, you know, kind of what I was alluding to beforehand, hookup culture is deeply rooted in patriarchy. And I think that you kind of think about the like call her daddy effect, where it's this like women presenting sexual liberation and female liberation, but just in line with what pretty much toxic masculinity has done.
Right.
And so I think that that is a big downside to hookup culture.
Yeah.
And on top of that, too, following in line with this patriarchal standpoint, I think hookup culture really villainizes feelings, communication.
Yeah.
Any type of emotion that tends to kind of be correlated with feminine desires.
Yeah, and even more so than that, I would say just correlated to relationships. But I think that really gets it all wrong, because even if you're just doing a casual hookup with someone, like, that's still a form of relationship. It's not necessarily a romantic relationship or even leading to one, but those ideas of respect and communication need to exist in those types of relationships as well. And you're right. I think that a lot of times people think, oh, that's too serious. Like, we're not doing that serious thing. We're doing something casual, so we don't need to communicate about what's going on, which is so crazy.
Well, yeah. The amount of times I've heard specifically women talk about their sexual hookup situations where they're like, I showed up to a party and this person that I've been having sex with for however many months has ignored me.
Yeah.
And it's like, where does that fall in line? And I was just talking to a friend about this where I was like, that's ridiculous. That's not fair, because you can be respectful and have open communication and have good sex.
Right.
And it doesn't have to conflate to a relationship. Like, you can just show basic respect for another human
and
being.
And like, communication doesn't mean you need to communicate that you're really into this person, you want to commit to them, you want them to commit to you. Communication can also be, hey, I'm really not looking for commitment and I want to be upfront with you about that.
Exactly.
God forbid.
And then I think that really brings into something that we've talked about in previous episodes, this terrible trend of ghosting, which I think is very rooted in what hookup culture exists to be, which is this like very one-time thing, or we just do this when we're having sex, and so now that I want it to be over, Like, I'll just stop talking to you because we haven't even built a foundation to have communication. So it honestly makes sense that some people would do that. Not to say it's a good thing, but it makes sense that that is people's responses they have no, like, time or energy that they put into building a foundation together to be like, this is what I want, this is what you want, and if things change, we can meet back up and talk about this more. That's all we're asking.
Yeah, and I think it's really a shame that hookups have gotten this rep of, yeah, we're not talking about what's going on. Because, honestly, that gets, like, kind of dangerous, like, it, on many levels. And it does make me sad to hear about people having experiences where they don't feel safe to communicate with someone that they are literally having sex with. Like, such an intimate thing to share with someone.
Absolutely.
But they're frightened to be vulnerable with that person. And again, vulnerability doesn't need to equate to romantic, monogamous partnership.
Right.
Yeah.
So true, best.
Thank you. We're going to keep this intro a little short because we have a very fun and exciting portion coming up after this short break. But we're starting off that break with a fun song, which we both love. Yeah. And you may have heard of it. It's called Sex With Me by Rihanna. And then we'll dive into our very fun and very special segment, where we'll be reading out some of your amazing responses to the questionnaire we sent out last week, hearing about your thoughts and opinions on hookup culture and also some anecdotes. So, yeah, without further ado, here's Sex With Me by Rihanna.
Sex with me, so amazing. All this all work, no vacation. Stay up off my Instagram, pure temptation. Hit a switch on a fake nigga like a station. Sex with me, so amazing. Sex with me, so amazing. Vodka and water and a lemon. And a few other things that I cannot mention. Ooh, go tonight, all night, tomorrow, even if I'm alone. Sex with me, so amazing. All this all work, no vacation. Stay up off my Instagram, pure temptation. Hit a switch on a fake nigga like a station.
Paul Jacobs, former member of Pottery, plays Wise Hall on May 26th. New music on the way this April. Tickets for his solo show are now on sale.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. This week, instead of our standard research component in the show, we decided to do something a little bit more interactive. So we sent out an anonymous survey where listeners of our show could submit their thoughts and experiences with hookup culture.
Thank you so much to everyone who submitted. It was really fun. And sometimes not so fun to go through some of your responses. But we really appreciate everyone who took the time to do that. We weren't able, unfortunately, to include every single response that we got just due to time. But if you'd like a chance in the future to share some of your thoughts with Therapy Hour, we really enjoyed doing this.
Yeah.
And we definitely want to bring this back to some capacity. So you can follow us on Instagram at Therapy Hour Pod.
Yeah, so we're going to start off with actually the second question on the forum, but we thought it'd be a good way to start out, which the question that we asked was, what are your general opinions on hookup culture? Do you find it empowers you or hinders you? How does it affect your dating life? And Violet, do you want to read the first one?
Yeah, I grouped together a few of these responses because I thought that they fit well together, not because they're expressing the same thing, but because actually they're expressing very different things.
Yeah.
So one response said, love/hate relationship. I love using men, but then I realized that men are using me in return, which was so funny.
Yeah.
Someone else said, fun, love it. And the third person said, not a fan at all. It definitely doesn't seem empowering in any way, LOL. And it's got a negative effect on my dating life because I don't want to talk to someone as a fling. And most people just want something short term and not long term. So the chances of being ghosted and played are really high. And it makes me so worried that I won't be able to find someone who is willing to be mature and settle down.
Yeah, that's a big range of emotions, which I think, you know, obviously this is just three separate people. So it's interesting to think about the vast majority of people thinking about how navigating hookup culture within their dating lives, depending on where they are and their like mental stability or like if they've just gotten out of a relationship and or just basic things of what they want.
Yeah.
And it's really impacting people so differently.
And it's interesting too, because I think especially that last response really frames it as, oh, I wish this didn't exist because it makes other people think in a certain way. And that's just not where my mindset is at.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't control the fact that we are all existing in a hookup culture. And so people may have very different expectations for me that I have for them.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And then I think that, you know, what we were talking about a bit beforehand is this idea that hookup culture can kind of bring out this female liberation, which, interestingly enough, some people did comment on. So I'm going to read two separate responses that are a little bit longer. So the first one says, I think hookup culture can be empowering in theory, but I think in practice it really only truly benefits men. At a baseline, I think it enables men to use women's bodies to masturbate without creating a culture of consent or pleasure, which are the elements that I think would make it truly empowering. I think it also has created an expectation that asking for respectability and reliability in casual sexual relationships is interpreted as wanting to escalate the relationship to something more serious. And that is one of the biggest reasons that I find hookup culture difficult to participate in. Like, I'm not trying to date you. I just would like to know that you respect me and are prepared to prioritize my pleasure and needs without being weird and distant or just straight up ghosting.
Yeah, period. Like, this is so true. Like, this is exactly what I think of when I think about the fact that hookup culture could be so good, but we're just missing that puzzle piece of like communication, respect, pleasure. Like, I love that this person brought up pleasure of like, you know, you are engaging in sex or a casual sexual relationship with someone and like you know, are doing that because that's maybe very pleasurable for you, but you should also be concerned about this partner's pleasure as well and be able to talk about that, especially if that's an ongoing relationship.
Exactly. And I think that a lot of people don't always, again, feel comfortable enough to express just, you know, desires in terms of what they want from the relationship, and let alone having conversations about their sexual relationships, mm-hmm. which is very interesting. Yeah.
And that response also made me so uncomfortable thinking about sex as just men using women to masturbate. Like, that just it's so gross to me.
But I mean, in some cases, it's unfortunately really true. Yeah. So yeah, that was a very difficult response to read through, but mm-hmm. I think it was very elegantly done. And so this next person says, "That is one of the best and worst things that has happened for female empowerment. I personally feel empowered, probably to a fault, because I can be extremely choosy and demanding, but also hindering because there is almost no pressure to settle into a serious relationship, which becomes an issue when looking due to the fact that no one wants anything serious. It hasn't affected me very much. I'm definitely one for hooking up over serious relationships. I think there's a huge amount of emotional labor that goes into relationships that is not spoken about to young people, and they go into it blind and can quickly become overwhelmed and often leads to a miscommunication between partners as well as a loss of individuality."
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the fact that this person seems to be enjoying themselves in these casual relationships, but also sees it as a hindrance for what I can only assume they think is something that they need to do eventually, which is kind of like settle down and be in something serious.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, to whoever wrote this, like, there's no rush. And also, like, you don't ever have to do that.
Absolutely.
Like,
not.
If casual relationships are working for you and thinking about serious relationships makes you be like, ugh, that's so much work, I don't want that. You know, as long as you are properly communicating to your casual partners, I see no issue with carrying on in that way.
No. And that's the whole thing that I've been thinking about with hookup culture in relation to traditional relationships, is just that we, you know, have this ideal in place that is set out for us, at least in Western cultures, of like one monogamous relationship that is your like end all, and you are striving and trying to figure out who this person can be. And I see this struggle a lot with people who are enjoying hooking up with people or enjoying being in casual relationships that don't even need to, you know, integrate sex. Maybe you're just casually dating.
Yeah.
And there's this idea that people always go back to, like, oh, but there's at some point I'm gonna have to settle down and find this person. And like, in reality, you don't have to.
You don't have to do anything.
No, you can just do your own thing.
Yeah.
And that's one thing, again, that I like about hookup culture at its very, very stripped down version. It's like, you are allowed to practice this if that's what you want, as long as you do it respectfully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a permission to have desires and not be shamed in theory about those desires, although I think there is still some internalized shame that can happen there. But someone else gave a response about how they believe that the empowering side of hookup culture actually just depends on the state of the mind of the person who's engaging with it. So they said, "Suppose I'm in a healthy and stable place of mind. It's the most empowering thing ever. Effing love it. If I'm feeling even slightly unstable and in a mental space where I am becoming reliant on approval, physical touch, or the feeling of being wanted, it can quickly turn into something toxic and be hindering."
That was a really interesting response. Mm-hmm. I found, like, it makes sense, I guess, in some ways, that you can find yourself in places where, I guess, you can actively interact with hookup culture. And then it's very self-aware of this person to be like, I know if I'm in this other state of mind, this is going to turn into something that I don't want it to be, which is a great thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I have ever, like, had this understanding of self, but it's very interesting. Yeah.
It's also such an interesting thing to talking about them, if they feel themselves becoming reliant on approval, physical touch, or the feeling of being wanted.
Yeah.
How do you even tell the difference of, like, relying on that versus just, like, desiring it? That, like, those are things that do feel good.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, living in a patriarchy and receiving it from men. Like, male validation is a very real thing. So yeah, I'd be curious to, like, pick this, you know, person's brain and just, you know, hear what that experience was like for them.
Yeah. we're going to go to the next one. And I really liked that this person submitted this one because this was something that I didn't initially consider about hookup culture, which now looking over it is so stupid that I didn't think about this. But I'm really glad that this person brought it to our attention. So this person responded saying, I think it depends. With gay hookup culture, and then in parentheses, not too sure about straight hookups, there's a lot of desire for some people, for some people's anonymity. I think that it that can be detrimental when it comes to safe sex practices when someone has had multiple sexual partners. If you test positive for an STI and can't get in contact with one of your partners because you don't have any ways of contacting them, they ghosted you or blocked you, then others are potentially at risk of also being exposed.
Yeah, I also really wasn't thinking along these lines. And I think that there is like a certain anonymity in, dating app casual hookups in general, yeah. But I think especially within a lot of like gay hookup culture too. And I didn't really think about the fact that someone may have blocked you.
Yeah.
And now if you have something you need to say to them, whether it's STI related or otherwise, yeah. Like, how do you even get in contact with that person?
Yeah. It's just, it definitely is a very scary terrain to start thinking about. If you think about it too much, it can get very scary of like, you don't know all the time. And like, you know, obviously we would promote safe sex mm-hmm. practices, but that doesn't always happen, and that's okay. But it is really scary, especially because, like, just getting an STI right now is highly stigmatized already. Mm-hmm. And so people can feel a lot of, like, pressure and shame to talk to their past sexual partners and then not even being able to, like, get in contact with that person and then have this, like, idea of like, oh no, like what if this person is going out and doing this to everyone else? Like,
or also if that person gave you the STI,
exactly,
and like you can't really hold them accountable and be like, hey, like can we talk about the fact that you gave me this? Are you aware of the fact that you're transmitting this? Like, yeah, that's really interesting. I really hadn't thought about that side of things. We're gonna move on to kind of the second half of our questionnaire, which was we asked, can you share a story where hookup culture affected you? This can be either a good or bad experience. Think being ghosted, going through your quote hoe phase, being in what you see as a relationship but what your partner deems as casual, etc. So this is kind of like our more anecdote based our answers, which I think is we've got a lot of good ones here.
The first time we read through these, we were laughing a lot. It was very fun. The first one is very funny. It made me laugh. So this person said, once I was hooking up and we were in the middle of sex and I realized I knew his cat's name, but not his name. Obviously, I asked, but just made me think that I was in a stranger's bed and house, but had no clue what his name was.
That's wild.
I wonder what the situation was that they knew his cat's name, but not the person they were hooking up with.
Yeah, I also wonder that. I guess it just left a better impression. Yeah, that's pretty funny. And I feel like that really encapsulates like hookup culture in some ways of like, you don't really know this person, but you are literally, like, naked with them in bed and, like, in their house, too.
Yeah. It's so funny to think sometimes about, like, what hookup culture has really done to the idea of sex. Because it's, like, in the moment, it's, like, everything's, well, hopefully, everything's good. Right. Everything's comfortable. We're having sex. We're having fun. And then you can leave and either not know who this person is or run into them and either forget their name or feel awkward. But you have literally done things like
you've done things together, you guys.
I don't know how much I can get into this.
No, it's
but you guys know
true.
What I mean. I hope everyone that's listening to this is at the talk.
Had the talk. Oh, you know, like the birds and the bees.
Yeah.
Mm. That'll be another episode. Birds and the bees. Okay, so this is the next one, and I thought that I wanted to include it because I thought it could resonate with a lot of people. This person said, I had a friends with benefits tell me he wanted to end things because he wanted a relationship, and I clearly wasn't looking for that, especially not with him. But I actually would have dated him if he'd asked. So I just played along because I was too shocked to correct him. Oh my goodness. Talk about not communicating.
Literally,
well.
I was about to say, talk about miscommunication.
Literally, this person coming to whoever wrote this and being like, I can tell, like, hey, don't, I'm not going to ask this as a question because I don't want to know.
Right.
But I already have assumed that this is the way that you feel.
Yeah. Oh, God. It pains me.
Yeah.
And the thing is, this is a very real thing that mm-hmm. happens. Like, again, when you don't have that foundation of communication, you're just guessing. You're just guessing about this other person. And how many times has someone come up to you maybe after becoming friendly of being like, oh, I thought you were like this, or mm-hmm. I thought you were like that. And it's funny because, you know, you meet people, you make assumptions. Yeah. Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. But just like the idea of this person being like, I know you don't want a relationship. You don't even have to tell me. So I'm just going to spare you now.
And how do you then turn around and be like, actually, I do want a relationship with you, I think. But like now, maybe we can't do that anymore.
No, it's very frustrating.
So strange.
I'm so sorry to whoever had to endure this.
Okay, just trying to keep in mind time because we have so many good ones.
I know.
So these are two that we thought fit well together with their varied stances on going through a hoe phase.
Mm-hmm.
So the first person said, I've recently been going through my slut era,
which
for me has looked like having sex with three people in the span of 2 months. Both were more positive and more negative experiences. And what I've learned is that I actually don't think casual sex benefits me, and I would prefer to have an emotional connection with someone before being physically intimate. But I think that hookup culture is so ingrained in me that I still find myself excited by the prospect of casual hookups, even though I know they won't result in the sexual experiences that will be best for me. And then, kind of similar but kind of different, this next person said, after a breakup, I entered my hoe phase. I love it so much because I have horrible trust and commitment issues after having two bad breakups. And while I love being unattached, I love the idea of having a significant other and being loved. Unfortunately, I have never experienced love from a guy, so I don't want it in reality, but the idea is nice. But I know if it ever came up again, at least in the near future, I would run away scared.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very different responses.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first one, this person that's saying that they have tested the waters of sexual relationships and they don't love it, but they think hookup culture is so ingrained in them that they have to keep doing it. That's also something I've heard a lot from people, specifically from women and femmes, and more specifically those women and femmes that are hooking up with cis men, and constantly talking about how they are seeking out this male validation and this sexual validation from a person. And it's not like in the midst of it, they're not actually having that great of a time. Like, it's not like it's a bad non-consensual situation, but it's just like sex isn't that good. But I'm going to keep doing this because I feel like this is kind of what I've been trained to do.
Yeah. And it makes me kind of question, like, what are you getting out of that situation then? And like, clearly there is something because it makes you want to go back, whether that something is healthy or beneficial or really serving you or not.
Right.
But like, I don't know, when I was reading the first response, I was kind of thinking like, oh, well, that's just more information. Like, now you have experimented in these casual relationships and you know a clear picture of what you want. Like, oh, I really do want a serious relationship right now. Like, I feel like that, you know, not to spin it into a positive, but I feel like it can be kind of spun into a positive.
Yeah.
And then it was really interesting to read the second one as well, and kind of hear about how it's been really like cathartic for this person to enter into a bit of a hoe phase and feel good about that after two relationships ending really poorly. And, you know, that can really sting. That's really painful.
Yeah.
And so to have fun and to, you know, connect with people in this casual setting, like, I think that's great.
Yeah. I do want to point my direction to the last bit that they said, that they were talking about how they haven't experienced love, and then, but they know that if they encountered it, they would run away, which I think is a very interesting perspective to have. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really have to relate to hookup culture, but I just wanted to say to whoever wrote that, that don't think that way of yourself all the time. Like, you, I feel like love and relationships can be very scary, especially when we're bred in a hookup culture. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it will, sometimes something will come along and it'll be great. And I also think, great, enjoy the hoe phase. Like, if it's working for you, keep on doing it. And like, it is really great that these two people have kind of submitted opposite endings to their like experiences of, one person is saying, yeah, I try this out. I don't love it. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm still going to go for it because it gives me a lot of validation, but at least I know that it's not maybe something I love. And this other person's like, this is working out. Fine. Yeah. I'll just keep doing this.
I feel like that's literally like the second person is like the target audience for hookup culture, where they're like, I have trust issues. I have commitment issues. I can't give people what they would want in a relationship, but I can give people what they want in a casual relationship.
Of course. And that's like, a strength.
That's a
that's a strength
that's
in
a
and of itself.
A very strong strength, yeah.
A strong strength.
A strong, strong strength.
Okay, so this next one is personally, not to pick favorites, but this is my favorite one that was submitted. It's a bit longer, but we both found it very interesting and a really good example of a time when you might find yourself engaging in hookup culture. We edited it down a little bit, but I hope everyone finds it as amusing as I did. So it's this person gave it a title as well. It's called The Textbook Story. I was fresh off of a breakup with my high school love in the second semester of my first year at university. I went to this party, wasn't feeling it, and was headed out the door when I saw this fine bleep man
censorship
in an upper year course I was taking. I was like, I've got nothing to lose, so I started chatting him up. He turns out to be super lovely and a super duper intelligent man. One thing leads to another, and I'm in his bedroom because he's giving me this $120 stats textbook. We start making out. Anyways, to my greatest disappointment, worst kisser I've ever experienced in my entire life. You get to a point in singlehood where it's like, you just have to adapt to different makeout styles and ways. But this man felt as though he'd taken out dentures and was gnawing at my face.
Jesus.
Not pleasant. But that point was too late, and I didn't want to hurt his feelings. And then in parentheses, how foolish. But could not bring myself to continue kissing him. So instead of just leaving as a normal person would, I went down on him since I knew that would be the path of least resistance and easiest and quickest way out of that room. Do I regret it? No. But do I think my decision not just to leave was partially due to the pressures of hookup culture? Potentially. Did I save $120 on a biometrics textbook? Most definitely.
Oh my gosh.
There's lots to unpack here. Mm-hmm. But I do kind of want to talk about this point that this person is making of kind of feeling like they can't leave that situation, which here's kind of where we're getting into like a bit of the darker side of what hookup culture can bring up. And it's not to say that you can't have these moments in full-on relationships. Like, that is definitely not what I'm trying to say. Consent is ongoing. But I do think that these are a lot. First and foremost, I've heard these types of situations happen quite a bit with some of my friends. And to think that, you know, you're in this like setting where you've come home with this person, there's obviously this expectation of hooking up or having sex or whatever you want to call it. And then you're kind of in this place of like, I don't even know if I really like this anymore. And again, it's just putting you in this position that, like, because of how we are seeing hookup culture manifest, it's like, well, you came here for a reason. You expect this. And also, no communication, no dialogue, no discussion. Yes. Just go for it.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense that this person would just kind of be like, okay, well, I'm just going to do this because I know that this will have, like, a direct end and I'll leave.
Yeah.
And, like, that's not how this should be.
No, definitely not. And, like, if you put yourself even in the position of this dude that this person went home with. Like, I don't really like the idea of someone doing something because they feel like I expect that of them. Yeah. And like, because, but they're like not into it at all. Like, that's really upsetting. And like, who knows if he sensed anything was going on there, right, or whatever. You know, you would hope that he would say something if he did sense that,
right,
any kind of uncomfortability or whatever. But regardless, like, I don't know, just framing it even as like the path of least resistance. And like,
yeah,
I'm really glad that this person said, like, I don't regret it. You know, this is the way it was. Like, it's fine. It's in the past. But like, that does make me sad for this person,
yeah,
that this was an experience they had to go through and that they felt like they couldn't just go to this person and say, hey, like, I'm actually not really into it,
yeah,
or like, oh, it's nice kissing you, but like, I think I'm just gonna head home. Like,
right.
And I think at the end of the day, like, yes, it's the pressures of hookup culture. And I think too, it's like this more sinister thing of like, how is this person gonna react if I am
absolutely
not, if I refuse to kind of pleasure them in this way? Because as you said, there's this expectation now that I've gone home, I've gone to this person's room.
Yeah. And there's, you know, hookup culture cannot be separated without this like understanding that we have not reached a culture of consent. So
right,
it's unfortunate that these things are happening without also conversations of consent, because like we said prior, if you're having a fun time, mm-hmm, and you're in your hoe phase and you love it and
yeah,
you're having, everything's good, then like, bada bing, bada boom, that's fantastic. But you shouldn't have to feel pressure to do that.
Yeah.
So we're sorry to hear that. But yeah, I'm glad that you got $120
textbook. I was
going to
say, like, the free textbook is cool,
yeah,
and
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, I'm very excited that you didn't have to pay for that textbook.
Okay, this is also a bit of a difficult one to read.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was important to include because I think it is a relatable experience and it resonated with me and definitely points to one of the major downsides of hookup culture that we kind of started getting into after that last one. But
mm-hmm,
definitely a little bit of a sensitive one if anybody may be sensitive to that. But this person said, I went on a really nice dinner date with this guy, and then when we got back to his place, I was like, okay, yeah, I am not mad about it. But the minute we stepped through the door of his place, he pinned me against the wall in a non-hot way, because there is a hot way, and tried to get way too up in my business way too quick. So I was instantly turned off, and when I was like, excuse me, sir, that ain't it, he got really defensive and instantly got really ugly cis man type of offended and said something I will never forget, in quotes, there's not going to be a second date, so what's stopping us now? End quote. Yeah, game over. I instantly left, and he got really pissed about how he bought dinner and did all the good stuff. Haven't been a fan of anyone who gives me hookup-only vibes since, even if I'm not against short-lived flings. That guy from that bad date thought he could earn consent and did not see it as something only I had the power to give, and thank God nothing more happened.
No.
Yeah, that made me so sad to
yeah,
read. I just can like feel that uncomfortability in my
yeah,
entire body reading that. And like, I'm really glad you were able to get out of that situation. That person doesn't understand consent, as you so rightfully point
right,
out at the end. And like, it just falls into this very overplayed trope of like, oh, like, you know, I was nice to you,
yeah,
so now you owe me something. Like, literally no. Like, that's not how it works.
No. And if there are any, I'm not gonna specifically target cis men when I am talking about this, so in general, but
mm-hmm,
like specifically cis men that are listening to this podcast right now, and I think that this is a trope that lots of women and femmes like joke about quite a bit,
mm-hmm,
but it is very real and it has very real consequences. Like this whole like nice guy trope where like,
yeah,
I did all the good things. Like
yeah,
I paid for your dinner and
right,
I drove you there,
mm-hmm,
and I did all these things like with this expectation. And like, you know, I think that we are specifically talking about hookup culture here, but hookup culture, as I said before, doesn't exist without talking about consent, talking
yeah,
about patriarchy, talking
mm-hmm,
about gender roles, talking
yeah,
about systems of power.
Yeah.
Like all of this, it needs to be fixed and like bettered for hookup culture to work, essentially. Yeah. And I think that I'm, to whoever wrote this, first and foremost, thank you so much for being vulnerable and telling us this. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm sorry that this happened. And it does really suck that this has now kind of veered you away from, you know, again, like what someone said a few responses back, something that some people have found really good things in. And that is upsetting to hear that this instance happened and has now hindered this person's experience to ever enjoy what could be very fun and safe casual sex.
Yeah, and I think too, like, I know people who go on dates with men in general and won't let that man pay for the date because they don't want to feel like they owe them anything after that, which is just such a, like, warped way of thinking, which I totally understand, but it is a odd reality of going on casual dates even and then feeling this pressure. But yeah, I echo everything that you said of, you know, thank you for sharing this. And yeah, it does make me sad because I think that while that is a reality of hookup culture and is a bit of a risk as well of, like, you know, going home with someone who you don't know that well.
Right.
There's also plenty of positive opportunities and situations that can come out of it as well. But obviously do what feels good and safe for you. But yeah, we're gonna take a quick break to hear some ads. I hope everyone enjoyed that fun little segment. Mm-hmm. When we come back, we're gonna do a quick wrap up about how we can engage with hookup culture in a more positive way. And we will be right back.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. We're talking about hookup culture.
Yeah, we are. And I think that the increased popularity of hookup culture isn't inherently a bad thing, as we've discussed. But I think it would be a little bit naive to say it hasn't created some new issues which need to be addressed, you know, in contrast to more quote-unquote traditional ways of approaching relationships.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people see hookup culture as being bad, maybe in some ways because it's going away from the traditional types of dating. And I very much, you know, echo those concerns of like, or not concerns, I echo the fact that it's so ingrained of what traditional relationships even look like to this generation. And, you know, we get into this idea of, like, because if you think about traditional relationships, it's monogamous, you have 2.5 kids, you buy a house. Well, that's like the, you know, the average
2.5 kids.
The average American household has 2.5 kids, and it's a running joke of saying
I've never you have heard that before. Is the half kid a dog or something?
No, it's just because averages come out in the same way. Anyways, yeah, so you think about having children, buying a house, someone's staying home, someone's going to work. This is how you function in society, and that's simply not in a lot of people's reality anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think that in some ways, it is really good to criticize these older ways of dating.
Yeah.
Hookup culture is not perfect, obviously.
As we've discussed.
As we've very much seen. But I also don't think that the older ways of dating was perfect. I don't think not talking about sex was healthy.
Yeah.
I don't think that not having room for, like, non-cis men sexual desires was healthy.
Yeah.
And I definitely don't think that it was healthy to have these rules and shame surrounding sex and sexual desire.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that hookup culture needs tweaking? Absolutely. But I do think that there are some, you know, good things that can come out of it, and maybe even some empowering aspects of it. But
yeah,
I'm interested to know kind of what your perspective is of, like, do you think there is an empowering way to have casual sex?
Yeah, it's a big question for sure. But I think the reality is that sex is a big part for many people in their dating lives, and whether that's something you engage with in a casual sense or otherwise. I think what gets lost, though, is that that elements that might be considered more serious, as we said earlier, such as having conversations about preference, pleasure, mm-hmm. consent, these things still need to be happening in these casual hookup situations. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's a really big disservice to frame these things as this is something you do with someone you want to be serious with.
Right.
Absolutely not. This is something you do with anyone you're intimate with. You have conversations. You ask them about what makes them feel good. That you ask them about if they're feeling comfortable and safe right now. Like, that's just a matter of respect, and it's a matter of safety. And I understand that sometimes there's a feeling that these types of conversations can give someone the wrong idea. But at the end of the day, you're becoming intimate with someone, and you need to be communicating what's going on and making sure that everyone in that situation is feeling good about it.
Yes.
But with those things in mind, I think that casual sex has the potential to be a really good thing under these good circumstances, right. Because I think it can teach you a lot about yourself, what you like, what you don't like, and it can feel really liberating to take away rules like not having sex on the first date, which are just ultimately very arbitrary rules, and just do what feels like natural and organic for you.
Right.
But sadly, I do think that the reality is that the current hookup culture ignores these important conversations. And while sex has become more casual, stigma around sex really still lingers and exists and causes people to feel shame about things that they shouldn't be ashamed of in the slightest.
Yeah, I think that gendered stigma surrounding how many people you have had sex with, whether you are engaging in casual sex. And I think that it's so interesting to see this shift in how casual sex is kind of not like forced upon us, but it is, you know, thought of as the expectation, while simultaneously people are still having issues with like talking to their friends about sex, and like specifically like young women and femmes talking to other people about their sexual dating life. You still can't fully be open about your sexual past without feeling a little shame, or even like receiving full-on like slut shaming from other people. And we didn't include this response in the discussion portion, but someone did write in and talk about body count, which I think is a crazy thing that we have like had some like weird expectation or like number that people are supposed to
have. Well, just this like total fallacy that the number of sexual partners you've had actually means something or reflects something about you, which is just not the case at all.
You can have sex 100 times with the same person, or you can have sex with 100 people, and it literally wouldn't make a difference.
And also, nobody knows. Like, literally, you can lie, and it doesn't make a difference, and nobody knows. Like, it's just the silliest thing ever, but it has very real, you know, impacts on you, and it is something that people who are sexually active or not sexually active may think about, and that makes me sad. Yeah, I'm actually glad that you brought up that response, because I did find that one really interesting, and it was a little bit off topic from hookup culture, but we appreciated that response as well.
Yeah, and the other thing I wanted to say a little bit with trying to go, I don't want to say against hookup culture, but I think that thinking about it a little bit deeper and like maybe pulling away some of those layers, because I do think, you know, having casual sex and, you know, recognizing what your intimacy or commitment issues may be, and seeing that casual sex is the way that you can exist in, and you can do it in a very safe and healthy manner. We've talked about this. However, I've had a little bit of a hypothesis in the back that having casual sex with one person for more than a few months is very interesting to me, because I assume that when people have casual sex, they are not speaking to one another. Like, I'm sure you're spending time with this person. Mm-hmm. There's obviously something you like about them.
Right.
And I think, you know, I'll be a little bit of devil's advocate here and be like, I kind of want to question that. Like, if you like spending that amount of time with someone and you enjoy their company and you enjoy having sex with them and you've probably gotten to know them in the last few months, why wouldn't you date them? And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I don't want anyone to think that I'm judging anyone for not doing those things. I think it's just a really great time to like reflect a little bit of, why don't I want to be committed to this person in whatever capacity that may be? It doesn't have to be a monogamous partnership.
Yeah.
But like, why is it that you have to stop at this certain place? And I do think that's another thing that hookup culture is insinuating and putting pressures on with people, is making it so that people are becoming more scared of being in like committed relationships, whatever the heck that means.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think I have seen people get into these casual relationships that last a few months, and then like, if it's a friend of mine, they come to me and they're like, I think I like
that. And you're like, yeah, I could have said that.
Yeah, I saw that coming a million miles away, but I'm excited for you.
I'm excited for you.
Or being like, okay, you know, like, this isn't really becoming anything. Like, I am not developing those feelings, or like, I sense the other person is, like, maybe it's time to cut it off. Like, there does seem to be a bit of a threshold there for a lot of people.
And yeah, and the last thing I just want to say about that is, one thing, again, that I do see really good about hookup culture becoming something that we're all interacting with is that you can use sex while you date someone.
Yeah.
I think beforehand there was this weird thing of like, you date and then you have sex.
Right.
And if you do it beforehand, that's very bad. But like, you can get to know someone and have sex with them, and and also just see if you like having sex with them as well.
Just like, it's a compatibility thing as much as it is like the conversations you're going to have, your interests. Like, you know, people like to have different types of sex, and you might as well figure that out sooner rather than later.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if that's what you want and you're comfortable with. Obviously, it's all preference.
Yeah, of course. I'm just saying that it's nice to have this be a little bit, it's on the road to being normalized, and you can start a relationship while also having sex with this person.
Totally.
And that's all I want for everyone.
I agree.
Shall we do our homework?
Yeah, well, we've got some homework for you this week, as always. And I feel like we were kind of summing it up a little bit in the end there, but your homework for this week is to know that there's no shame in engaging with hookup culture, but just to be aware of how you are engaging with it, and maybe even why you choose to engage with it. This has been your free therapy session for this week. We're your hosts. I'm Violet.
And I'm Halle. This is Therapy Hour, because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it. Be sure to tune in again in 2 weeks, where we'll be talking about a topic which our friend Abril actually suggested to us. And it really resonated with both of us, especially right now in our lives, I would say. We just got into a really long conversation. We're like, we should do the next episode on this. And that topic is imposter syndrome. So thank you to Abril for that suggestion.
And thank you to everyone who submitted their responses. That was so lovely. And thank you so much for putting time and effort. We really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. We're really sorry we couldn't get to everyone's, but maybe next time.
Yeah, exactly. Let us know if you enjoyed being able to participate anonymously. We loved having you all given the opportunity to participate.
Yeah.
And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.